I'll now introduce myself. My name is Li Hongzhi. Everyone knows that already. I'm a Northeasterner. My home is in the city of Changchun. I was born in the northeast of China. This year I'm 44. 43 years old. After the new year, I'll be 44 years old. I started learning cultivation practice from masters when I was young. The things I learned at the time were things that were passed down verbally and from the heart, things that were passed down to a single disciple throughout the generations. There were also many things that were passed down only to a chosen disciple, and they could not be made widely known. Taking these things, I reorganized them a little, and because they were reorganized, they were now more suited for common usage. Suitable for popularization, then I called it Falun Gong. Because the things I studied, the things I had studied in the past, were called Falun Shou Chi Da Fa, or Falun Cultivation and Enhancement Great Law, also called Falun Shou Lian Da Fa, or Falun Cultivation Practice Great Law. So we now call it Falun Gong. The system of Gong, I will discuss its unique features specifically in a little while. After the set of practice movements was spread to the public, we caused quite a stir in society and received, but we are responsible to society, responsible to students, so the result has been relatively good. Thus, we are developing relatively quickly. Our impact, too, has been huge, but our Falun Gong students are all able to place emphasis on their virtue, or de, to place emphasis on their heart or mind nature, xing xing, and to hold themselves to strict requirements, which completely sets it apart from other systems in school. It is completely different because we are truly transmitting Gong toward high levels. Just now I said that because these things that I learned were all passed down to a single disciple throughout the generations, disciples had to be chosen to pass it on. Therefore, as soon as they started out, they were already practicing at a certain level. As such, in presenting this thing to the public, we have left regular qigong far behind. That is, the lowest level of regular cultivation practice, the things for healing and fitness, that is, the part that we call qigong, we have left these things far, far behind us and are practicing on the level of true cultivation practice. If a person is truly practicing cultivation, then this person must practice cultivation emphasizing de, or virtue, and emphasizing xing xing, or mind nature. Otherwise, he will neither increase his cultivation energy gong, nor will he have his body cleansed to the point of no illness. Thus, our requirement for emphasizing virtue is touched upon the crucial point of a person's cultivation practice. Why does cultivation energy or gong not grow? Why is your body not cleansed? We have pointed out the most crucial reason. So to practice cultivation towards high levels, even if you are unable to cultivate to higher levels, you will have understood many principles, things that we couldn't figure out before. So for a lot of people, when they step out of the seminar, they will stop doing bad things from now on. At the very least, they will no longer knowingly and consciously do things to intentionally hurt other people. Of course, today I mentioned I said that the morality of this entire society is on a big downslide. So there are some matters in which good and bad can no longer be differentiated. In actuality, it's really bad, but some people nevertheless think it's good, because the entire human society is sliding downwards. There is no standard by which to judge. It's out of control. Just now I briefly said a little, introduced a bit about myself and Falun Gong. Since time is very limited, every day the class will be 2 hours long, or not much longer than that. I will mostly lecture, because genuine cultivation is actually a... In the past it was called cultivation of Dao. In the Buddhist school we call it cultivation of Buddha. The issue of true cultivation is a serious matter. It is not your average qigong class where you come to learn something for healing and fitness. This is a completely different thing. So everyone, you should be strict with yourselves and should not confuse yourselves with ordinary people. At the very least, we should be on time every day. If you come late, you will disturb others listening to the lecture. If this Fa or this law and these principles are not taught to you thoroughly, you'll have no way to practice cultivation. If you miss even one lecture, it will be very hard for you to practice cultivation. There'll be many questions you won't be able to resolve because it is entirely different from regular things for healing and fitness. So I hope everyone will come on time. Of course, when our lecture is going on, nobody else will talk, so we do not make a special requirement for that here. Now let's begin our lecture. For now, we'll still discuss the usual material because many of the people sitting here are new students, so this lecture cannot yet be given at too high a level. First, we need to talk about our understanding of Qigong. Earlier, I told you a little bit about myself. What I've told you about myself is to make an essential point that the thing that I've come out to do is different from what's being done by regular Qigong masters. What regular Qigong masters are doing is merely teaching you healing and fitness. Of course, some messed up ones even teach you to heal other people's illnesses. Actually, they are doing harm to you. Later on, I'll talk about all these principles. That is to say, I'm teaching Gong on a high level. That's what I'm doing. Then in relation to this, we first need to discuss one issue. That is, among the people sitting here, very likely there are some who came here with the purpose of getting their illnesses cured. I'm telling everyone, and many of the veteran students sitting here know, that this is a seminar. This is not for treating illnesses. I won't treat anyone individually with my own hands. We are making this point clear. Because this is a seminar and so many people are here, I couldn't get to everyone anyway. If I treat you and not someone else, it just wouldn't do. I will still talk about seeking treatment for illnesses and all those things. Actually, with some of these illnesses, it has to depend on yourself. So don't come looking to me to treat your illnesses. Then as we truly teach Gong on a high level, many people's bodies have never been purified and still have illnesses. Even though you've practiced Qigong for many years, you have not reached the goal of healing and fitness, whatever the reason may be. Later when I discuss this, you will understand. There is still illness in your body, yet some of you even treat other people's illnesses. That is to say, you don't have Gong or cultivation energy. Not only does your body not have Gong, it also has not been purified. So what's to be done? When, all at once, a practice is taught at high level, you have to develop Gong, the real Gong or cultivation energy. What you emit is no longer qi, but a kind of high energy matter. In the world of cultivation, everybody knows that when the real gong is emitted, seen with a tianmu, a third eye, it is a light. The higher the level is, the higher the intensity and the density of this light. It's not qi. Qi is nothing. Qi is just for purifying the body. So what's to be done? You haven't practiced Gong and now all of a sudden you're supposed to develop Gong or cultivation energy. Your filthy body cannot develop Gong, so we have to purify it for you. We won't treat illnesses here, but I'm telling everyone that I can help you purify your bodies. As long as you have truly come here for cultivation practice, to learn the system, to learn Falun Gong and Falun Gong alone, if you can give up all the other messed up things, we'll be responsible for purifying your body for you. We have held many large-scale seminars throughout the country, and I'm fully capable of doing this. I have held seminars with even more people than what we have here now, and in all the cases, the results were very good. As long as you can give up certain intentions. Some people have come to seek supernormal powers, some even want to listen for entertainment, some cannot give up the things they had before, some want to get their illnesses cured. There are all kinds of intentions. Some people even want to try matching powers with me. I'm telling you, pack it up. All those things of yours are useless. I'm saying, as long as you can... Everyone who is sitting here, who can walk into this place, has a predestined relationship. As long as you can give up all those things, you probably won't regret it in this lifetime of yours. Of course, if you cannot, chances are you won't get anything. Because mankind is lost in delusion, there is the issue of enlightenment. In the next few days, we can purify the body for all of you, so don't worry about it, everyone. However, we won't treat anyone's illnesses individually. Don't tell me how much pain and suffering you have, because every illness, every hardship, and every tribulation has a reason behind it. As I see it, they all have a karmic reason behind it. They are not for no reason. So we cannot casually eliminate them for a person. What we call karma, or ye li, we cannot casually eliminate the karma. But for a cultivator, it can be done. Because in this universe, when the wish to cultivate appears in a person's heart, the goodness in his heart has emerged. And in the past, it was said his Buddha nature has come out. This is the most precious thing in a human being. So once a person has this wish in his heart, it is permitted to help him because he wants to cultivate, he wants to ascend, he wants to return to the origin and go back to the truth. So it is permitted to do this for him. But if you are an ordinary person who fights against others in society, competes for fame and profit, and you want to have all your illnesses instantly eliminated, this is definitely not allowed. You must ascend and truly be a good person. Of course, being a practitioner is the best way to ascend. So just now I emphasized the point that before your body has reached the state of a milk-white body, you cannot develop gong. But if you want to do it yourself by practicing qi, you say, I'll purify my body by practicing qigong and then I'll cultivate to high level. Maybe after several years, or in an even worse case scenario, if you don't attain the fa or the law, even after several decades, you still won't develop gong or cultivation energy. But in this seminar, I can do this for all of you within the first four lectures. I can purify your body. It is guaranteed that it can be purified, but you must be able to give up all your stuff. In the past, we've always emphasized that paralyzed people and critically ill people are not allowed to attend the seminar because what they're thinking about is their illness. Whatever you say, they won't do it. What they have in the back of their minds is the thought of their illness. So they're here just for illnesses and there's nothing we can do. Other sick people are easy. If you can let go of your illness, if you truly don't think about it and don't care about it, we can do this for you. We can purify your body. Next, let's talk about our understanding of qigong on a high level. I'll talk about the question, what is qigong? Of course, once I start talking about qigong, many people will think, talk about qigong? All the qigong masters talk about this. I've heard more than what you have to say. That is true, but I'm telling you, everything you have heard is nothing more than things for healing illness and keeping fit. Even though you may know about exercising the energy channels, opening acupoints, the great and small heavenly circuits, and other stuff like that, those are nothing more than things for healing and fitness. When it comes to genuine cultivation practice, however, your mind is a blank. At present, there isn't anyone else teaching this in the whole country. I'm the only one doing it. Our understanding of qigong on a high level is entirely different from what you learned about qigong before, so let me talk about this. For example, some qigong masters say that qigong reached its peak in our country during the height of the Tang Dynasty. There appeared various schools and ways of cultivating Dao, many from the Buddhist school and many from the Taoist school. Even some Western religions had already been introduced to China. It was a very active period of time for the cultivation community. During the Ming Dynasty, there also arose the practice of internal alchemy, refining Dan, or an energy cluster in the lower abdomen, and other such things. As such, some people say that qigong has a history of 3,500 years in our country. This is based on research data. Some others say that qigong has a history of 5,000 years, which is about as old as our Chinese civilization. You know, our Chinese civilization, as we've always been saying, is approximately 5,000 years old. That is to say, qigong came into being at the same time as our Chinese civilization. However, seen from some unearthed relics, it goes even beyond that time. Some qigong masters have said that qigong has a history of 7,000 years in our country. But no matter how you understand it, you have not gone beyond the course of development of our human civilization. That is to say, you have not gone beyond the course of development of the present cycle of human civilization. Actually, I'm telling you, qigong is not at all something invented or created by modern people. It is a prehistoric culture. which goes far beyond our present human civilization. It's that sort of thing. That is to say, let me explain what prehistoric culture is. Some of the people sitting here perhaps don't understand it very well, although maybe some intellectuals do understand it. What is prehistoric culture? Well, for example, since the time mankind has had civilization, when man developed a rich intellect in culture and writing, that's the point when mankind entered the age of civilization. Before that, it was tying knots to remember things, and before that, it was living in caves with hairy bodies, wearing tree leaves, and eating raw meat. That is, there was no civilization to speak of. Which is to say, Qigong extends beyond the age of our human civilization. Of course, it wasn't created by the ape man either. It is a kind of prehistoric culture. Then how does one explain prehistoric cultures? For example, we have now discovered in the scientific community that, and this is what the scientists say, for example, before the current human civilization, there existed other human civilizations. That is, the history of our human civilization, for example, our Chinese civilization can be said to have a long history, about 5,000 years long. It can be said to be one of the most ancient civilizations in the world. Yet it began its history only about 5,000 years ago and didn't exist before that time. However, there are cultural relics that have now been discovered by scientists in our country and throughout the world that go far beyond the history of this human civilization. All these cultural relics and historical artifacts that date back over 100,000 years, hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years, tens of millions of years, or to an even more remote historic period. How is something like this to be explained? These things commonly exist and have already been widely discovered. It can be said that they have already delivered a major shock to our present-day culture. According to Darwin's theory of evolution, mankind evolved from apes to today's civilized man. I'd say that's very limited. However, I can give everyone some specific examples. On our present-day Earth, there are continents such as Europe, Asia, South America, North America, as well as several large oceans. The continents, the chunks of land, are known by the term continental plates. This is a term used by geologists. They're called continental plates. Everything else is considered ocean. The continental plates, that is, the formation of the structure of the Earth, has not undergone a major change in the last few tens of millions of years. No matter which plate of which continent, none have changed for tens of millions of years. However, below many oceans, there have been discovered towering grand structures made of carved stone. They're remarkably beautiful, like palaces. There are many of them. These things exist in many places. They have been discovered at the bottom of all the oceans. This brings up a point, namely, tens of millions of years before the continental plates were formed, who created those civilizations? How is one to explain these things? Here's another specific example. There is an American scientist who found several trilobite fossils on a mountain in California. On the surface of a fossil, trilobites are... People who work in geology or biology may know that trilobites existed between 600 to 260 million years ago. They are product of that period of time. After that period, they ceased to exist. But on this trilobite fossil, there are, at the same time, human footprints. And one of these footprints was made by someone wearing shoes. The imprint is very clear. And there's another fossil with the footprint of a barefoot child, also imprinted very clearly. It's as though a joke is being played on our geologists and historians. How could there have been human beings at that time, and they stepped on it wearing shoes, so they even had a certain degree of civilization? There were people with wisdom. They knew how to wear shoes. How are these things to be explained? Of course, there are many things like this, so we won't give too many examples. Let's talk about something closer to our time. In the Museum of the National University of Peru, there is a rock with a human image engraved on it. It's a large rock. The human image is wearing clothes, wearing a hat and shoes. There's a telescope in his hands and he's observing celestial bodies. So he had a certain knowledge of astronomy. However, from current carbon isotope dating, isotope number 14, is it? Anyway, using their scientific methods, it was determined that this human image was engraved 30,000 years ago. Think about it, everyone. How could those people of 30,000 years ago wear clothes? How could people 30,000 years ago have telescopes? Nowadays, in the scientific community, it is commonly believed that the telescope was invented by the European Galileo. Where did this telescope come from 30,000 years ago? And he's examining celestial bodies, so he has a certain knowledge of astronomy. How are these things to be explained? Of course, these things are very numerous. For example, in France, in South Africa, in the Alps, and in many other regions, on the stone walls of caves and on rocks, there are frescoes and murals, all of which were engraved tens of thousands of years ago. The engraved animals are vivid and true to life. They look real. They're also painted in mineral paint, and the color doesn't fade. Some of the engraved pictures of people practically look like they were carved by modern-day artists. However, these people are wearing the type of clothing that was worn at the turn of the century. For example, like the suits worn by Europeans, not quite designed like the ones of today. They're wearing tight stockings, tight pants, and shoes, and in their hands they're holding something like walking canes and smoking pipes, and wearing hats. Think about it, everyone. Over 100,000 years ago, hundreds of thousands of years ago, how could those monkeys have imagined the fashions of today's mankind? Then who was it that engraved those images? Let's talk about something more remote. Everyone knows that in Africa, many places are quite backward. They are considered third world countries. There's the Gabon Republic, which produces uranium ore. Uranium ore, not petroleum. The uranium used in nuclear reactors. The country cannot refine the uranium ore by itself because it doesn't have the capability for producing nuclear energy, so it exports the ore to some developed countries. In 1972, a French mining plant imported a large shipment of this ore and discovered that the ore had already been refined and utilized. They thought it was very strange, so they dispatched their scientific and technical personnel to make an on-site investigation. Later on, scientists of many countries joined the investigation. Ultimately, it was determined that this ore... Of course, the findings of their investigation shook the world. A lot of scientists went to investigate it. It was discovered that this whole uranium mine was a large-scale nuclear reactor, an open-air large-scale nuclear reactor. Moreover, it had a very reasonable layout, even beyond the capability of us modern people. Of course, we modern people have no way to develop that kind of a large-scale nuclear reactor. When was it built? Through examination, it was determined that it had been built 2 billion years ago, simply an astronomical number, and had been in operation for 500,000 years. Just these things, there's a lot of data and references. We won't talk about them one by one here. There are too many. It has delivered a major shock to modern science and modern human understanding of our history. Of course, mankind is constantly developing. We talk about dialectics, right? Nothing can be regarded as absolute. What we understood before is not necessarily absolute. Mankind is also constantly coming to understand itself, and following the progress of science and technology is developing, renewing, and perfecting itself. That's inevitable. Just now, I briefly told you what prehistoric culture is. Scientists call it prehistoric culture because it goes beyond our modern human history. And they have also said that this prehistoric civilization didn't occur just once. They believe that prehistoric civilizations have existed many times. Moreover, according to their theory, after a human civilization appears, after change occurs in nature, their theories talk about natural changes. For example, some planet collided with another planet, or there were natural disasters or calamities caused by man, floods or other problems that destroyed mankind, and only a small number of people survived. These people lived a primitive lifestyle because all the tools of production had been damaged. Finally, mankind grew and developed and entered the next period of civilization. Later on, through the slow course of historical development, they probably suffered another destructive blow and were again left in devastation, and once again a new mankind was developed. There have been a number of this kind of periodic emergence of a civilization. Of course, I've said that this is what's known in the world of science and technology. We are not talking about anything mystical here. That is, our modern human civilization has already come to understand this. Actually, you can find the same thing in the sutras. Of course, we've said, just now I mentioned that we are a system of the Buddhist school. So we are saying that 2,500 years ago, Sakyamuni had also talked about these things. For instance, he said that so many billions of kalpas ago, he had succeeded in cultivation and attained the way. And he also said that his masters had also succeeded in cultivation and attained the way so many billions of kalpas ago. And there were also other primeval Buddhas. All are measured in distant ages, immense astronomical numbers. And if what he said is true, since Sakyamuni is a real historical figure, if what he said is true, then it fits in with what people know today. Conversely, I can also tell everyone, if that is the case, think about it, everyone. At the time when he was cultivating, didn't he also need a method for his cultivation practice? Then what kind of method was it then? I think, among the orthodox systems that are spread in society today, are there such things that were transmitted from prehistoric periods? Of course, if you ask me, I'd say it's for sure. At the very least, the things that Sakyamuni himself transmitted were prehistoric. Of course, Sakyamuni himself appeared during this cycle of civilization. But didn't he talk about enlightenment or wu? He enlightened to the things that he had cultivated in the past. He enlightened to them. He recalled them. What does enlightened mean? It just means that he remembered. All at once, his brain became free. He brought out the things that he had learned before and taught them to people. That's how it was. Just now, I was talking about our understanding of Qigong within the framework of history, talking about its origins. It is not something created or invented by modern-day people. Now there are people who take a Qigong system, modify it, and make it into another system. They pick something up here, steal something from there, and make up a system. I'm telling you, it's harming yourself and others too, doing serious harm. But these things, if you were to damage them, I think it would not be just a minor sin. It is not what we imagine, because Qigong is a completely supernormal thing. It's beyond the level of ordinary people. All of mankind is on the same level, while Qigong is completely beyond that. So if you practice it like physical exercise, you're not going to gain anything. Why do you practice but fail to increase your gong? This is precisely the reason. Well, since Qigong has such an ancient history, what is it ultimately used for? Here I can tell everyone. We are a system of the Buddhist school. Here I can tell you explicitly that our Qigong is for cultivating Buddhahood. The Qigong of the Dao school is for cultivating Dao, becoming a true man. Speaking of Buddha, some people may say, you're talking superstition. I'm telling everyone, the word Buddha is not superstition. People call Sakyamuni a Buddha. There really was a Sakyamuni. Think about it, everyone. During the backward times in ancient China, If a person developed supernormal powers, everyone knows that qigong can bring forth the extrasensory powers of the human body, right? At present, there are 6 extrasensory powers commonly known in the world. Actually, there are far more than 6. Suppose the man sitting here could do things while moving his hands and feet that other people could not do even by moving their hands and feet. In those backward times, wouldn't people have called him a god? But actually, he's just a man with cultivation achievements, a man who has practiced cultivation quite well. Thus, the Tao school talks about a true man. Of course, it's not just such a simple thing. Actually, cultivation is very complicated, and one will not only obtain that tiny bit, one will obtain so much. You can undergo a great change. So I'm telling everyone, that's what qigong is used for. So the real goal of qigong is this. Of course, we cultivate to high level and want to reach this goal, but not necessarily everyone will be able to reach this goal. Maybe some people, as the saying goes, when a superior person hears the Tao, he practices it diligently. When an average person hears the Tao, he practices it on and off. And when an inferior person hears the Tao, he laughs at it loudly. Of course, if we don't have inferior people here, they wouldn't be attending the class. But possibly, many people are among those average people. They see that everybody comes to learn, so they also come to learn. But as soon as they get busy with work, then they stop. They practice on and off. To learn is fine, to not learn is also fine. These belong to those average people. It's very hard for such people to succeed. Only when a superior person hears the Tao is there hope. He'll do it diligently and put a lot of effort into practice. I say that in qigong, the practice of qi is nothing more than something at the very lowest level. Since genuine cultivation is used for this, when its lowest level things are brought out to purify people's bodies, it can display its miraculous effects. So one can achieve results beyond expectation. But when it comes to achieving these results on a mass scale, some people don't get the essential points or don't have the proper method and want to practice qigong like physical exercise. Yes, qigong is qigong, they know it's qigong, but they still practice it like it's physical exercise. They put no restraint on their thoughts and their hearts. They're the same as ordinary people. Maybe they don't think about anything when they're practicing qigong, but once they leave the practice site, among people and within society, they'll fight and they'll compete, and when it comes to fame and gain, they'll sharpen their heads to drill their way in. They cannot change themselves at all, so what they're doing is just physical exercise, therefore they cannot achieve this result. Then why is this thing called qigong? Actually, just now I said it's not qigong at all. It's cultivation practice. It's just that different schools of cultivation and different systems go by different names. It's just cultivation practice. The term qigong actually came about because over the years, people who were deeply influenced by the ultra-leftist trend of thought had a hard time accepting it. For it to suddenly be popularized in society, it wouldn't have been understood by people and was prone to being mislabeled. So there were some qigong masters who came up with such a term and just called it qigong or the practice of qi because it suited the mentality of modern people very well. Qigong is not liable to be slapped with a label. Because qigong had already reached a peak during the mid to late period of the Cultural Revolution. During those times, if you had called qigong by its original names, it would have been terrible. You would have been criticized and denounced before you even began teaching. Think of what would have happened during those times. People who went through the Cultural Revolution know this. Just remembering it makes one tremble. It was really bad. If you don't believe it, I'll tell you those original names, such as Great Fa for cultivating Buddha, Great Fa for cultivating Dao, Diamond, Diana, Ninefold Internal Alchemy. They were all like that. If you were to have called it by such names in those times, it would never have been acceptable. So people just called it qigong. Gradually, they omitted the original names and just called their systems such and such gong, That's how the name came to be.
实质上呢, 我们今天,
Actually, the Qigong that is being taught in the society of today can be viewed this way. It is the lowest level of the genuine cultivation things, the part for purifying the body. So qi is nothing. You know, in the Taoist school, there are many practices of standing in the Tianzi stance, focusing on the Dantian, concentration, and visualization. The purpose is to gather the cosmic qi. There is also the discharge of qi above and below, and in the Buddhist school, there are practices of holding qi and filling it into the top of one's head. What is the purpose? It's to bring in fresh qi from the universe so that after it enters the body and goes all the way through, it expels the black qi, the ill qi, and the waste qi that were originally in the body, thus purifying the body. That's the purpose. Of course, if you don't do it the right way, all you can do is clear away those superficial things. You cannot get rid of the real high-density mass of karma. You have to genuinely change your very person in order to truly achieve this effect. This is our view of Qigong. So the thing that we are teaching today is far, far beyond ordinary Qigong. We are true cultivation. Therefore, the requirements for you are also higher. Of course, this thing is not a product of only our country. Since it is cultivation practice, it exists in various places throughout the world. But in other regions, it is passed down secretly to only one person. It is imparted through word of mouth and taught from the heart. In our country, it took the form of Qigong. Of course, a lot of people study Qigong for a long time, but never gave a level-headed thought to the question, why did Qigong, which never existed before, appear today in the present historical period? Of course, it's no accident. Next, let's discuss an essential question. Why is it that a lot of people practice Qigong for a long time, but they don't acquire Gong or cultivation energy? Let's talk about this question. A lot of people have practiced Qigong for a long time, but have not acquired Gong. Not only have they not acquired Gong, their own bodies still have illness. In their ignorance, they were fooled and even started treating other people's illnesses. After treating illnesses, they went home and they themselves felt sick. So let's discuss this question. There are two reasons. There are two reasons for failing to increase energy after many years of wanting to raise your level. Because for a lot of people, when they entered this wide open door of Qigong, they were driven to it by illness. For many people, it's like this. But as they continue to practice and find that their body feels good, they discover that that's not all there is to Qigong, that it's still possible to practice to a high level. But what's up there? Nobody teaches it, so they don't know. If you use the scripture of Dan or collection of Taoist scriptures, these things cannot guide your cultivation. They just teach you some theories or talk about things in a roundabout way, while the real things have not been taught by anyone at all. But today, we are completely revealing all these things. There are two reasons for this failure to increase Gong. One is that a person does not know the Fa, or the law of high levels, so he cannot practice cultivation. What does that mean? If you take an elementary school textbook and go to college, you're still an elementary school student. That is, the methods of Qigong taught in society today, if you keep holding on to these methods and keep practicing, trying to cultivate upwards, they will be good for nothing. They can never guide you in your cultivation to higher levels. Some people have learned many Qigong systems, this Gong, that Gong, they simply learn too many. They know even more than a regular Qigong master. A Qigong master teaches things of his system, but these people know everything of all styles and systems. The Qigong master is giving a lecture up there, these people don't even want to listen. You do know a lot, but it's nothing at all. Why is it nothing? Just like what I was saying about the elementary school textbooks. You have learned from elementary school textbooks from England, elementary school textbooks from America, from Japan, from China, from Russia, but you're still an elementary school student, aren't you? Without the Fa of high levels to guide you, you cannot move up in cultivation at all. In the past, these things could not be put into words, nor could they be written down. Of course, we have, in this special historical period, you know, be it the Dharma ending period or the Kalpa ending period, we don't talk about such things, but I'm telling everyone. Anyway, it's a special historical period, so today we have made it public. Because now there is no Dharma left. Mankind has no more. It can be said that in terms of moral values and spiritual civilization, it's out of control. People can commit wrongdoing without fear, without restraint. So the Dharma ending period doesn't mean that at this time the Dharma of Sakyamuni no longer works. Rather, the Dharma ending period that he spoke of refers to the period of time when human beings no longer have the Dharma in their hearts to restrain themselves. No matter how extensive laws and regulations become, if a person wants to do something bad, when he's out of your sight, he'll still do it. It's not from his heart that he refrains from doing such things. If everyone has a standard of morality to restrain them, when they know that something is bad and must not be done, I think human morality will naturally improve. So when cultivating to high levels, one must emphasize de, or virtue. We talk about emphasizing cultivation of xingxing, or heart and mind nature, or moral character. Which is to say, this is the second issue. The reason for failure to increase gong, one does not emphasize the cultivation of xingxing, thus one cannot raise one's level. These are the two major issues involved. In this seminar, I can teach you inside and out all the principles and法 of high-level cultivation practice. Every day, my lectures will go for a long time, almost 1.5 hours, and only half an hour will be given to practice, to learning the exercises, because the movements are very simple. A great way is most simple and straightforward. Complicated movements are not necessarily good. Later on, I will explain the principles behind it. So one reason for failing to increase gong. Another reason, as I just said, is that without emphasizing cultivation of xingxing or mind nature, one cannot move up in cultivation. Then some people have said, be it emphasizing de or virtue, or be it stressing xingxing, what does that have to do with the gong or cultivation energy that we develop through practice, which is a physical thing? Isn't everything you were talking about a mental thing? How can they be put together? They don't really believe it, therefore some people don't emphasize virtue. I'm telling everyone, in this universe there exists a characteristic. What characteristic? It is a very complex thing, but it can be summarized in 3 words. They are 真, 善, 忍, or truth, benevolence, and forbearance. The myriad of things of the universe do not go beyond these 3 words. It is also the sole criterion by which to judge a person as good or bad. Forget about the morality of mankind today, which is just one big slippery slope. People think it's a good thing if you can grab onto some money today, but this does not necessarily agree with the characteristic of the universe. When a person does harm to others and thinks of nothing but self-interest, he thinks that humans should be this way. If a man isn't out for himself, let him be damned by heaven and earth. Some people even take this saying as a motto, but I'm telling you, that is not the characteristic of the universe. It goes against the characteristic of the universe. So it is said that mankind has already slid down to a very dangerous position. The sole criterion to judge a man is good or bad is the characteristic of the universe. Over there, this does not change. So however mankind is sliding down, that's just mankind sliding down by itself. So it's possible to tell that mankind has slid down. Some people think, I'm pretty good. I'm a good person. In ordinary human society, I'm better than all of them. However, I'm telling you, you fall far short. Why? Because you're using this fallen standard to judge yourself. You're measuring yourself with the criteria of ordinary people, which falls far, far short of the standards of a cultivator of the Tao, far short of the characteristic of the universe. For example, within Zhen San Ren, actually in the true cultivation of the Tao school, they enlighten to Zhen or truth, or truthfulness. Of course, they also talk about shan, or kindness, or benevolence, but less so. So people say that the old Taoists are harsh, but harsh as they may be, they're not bad. And they also have ren, or endurance, or forbearance, but the emphasis of their cultivation falls on zhen, or truth. So they believe in speaking the truth, being a true person, cultivating the truth, and fortifying one's nature, returning to the origin, and returning to truth, and finally succeeding in cultivation to become a true man. So the emphasis of their cultivation falls on zhen. The Buddhist school cultivates the shan, or kindness, or benevolence, out of zhen shan ren. Of course, they also have zhen, truth, and they also have ren, forbearance, but the emphasis of their cultivation falls on shan, kindness. By cultivating shan, they can develop great compassion. When one is kind, he sees that all sentient beings are suffering, and he develops compassion. Thus, they can offer salvation to all sentient beings. So just now I was saying, this zhen shan ren characteristic of the universe is a very complex thing, but within even the tiniest particles of every substance in our universe, there exists this characteristic. Within the smallest particles in the air, in the soil, in stone, in wood, in iron, and steel, and all the matter in the universe, there exists this characteristic of zhen shan ren. In all of them, there exists this characteristic of zhen shan ren. For ordinary people, at the ordinary people's level, everyone is like that, so they cannot feel its existence. But as a cultivator, if you practice cultivation without emphasizing xinxing, then you can feel its restrictive power. It doesn't let you ascend. If your xinxing hasn't been cultivated up, it restricts you. For example, take a bottle. The cap is screwed on really tightly, and it's filled with dirty things. Throw it in the water, and it's going to sink straight to the bottom. If you don't pour out those dirty things, it won't come up. If you pour out a lot, or if you pour out a little, then it will float up a little higher. You pour out a little, it floats up a little. If you pour out everything, after you screw the cap on tightly, you won't be able to push it under, even if you try. This is precisely the principle. Let's talk about it again from the other side. Just now we talked about it from this point of view. Now let's talk from another point of view. As I was just mentioning, don't people say that mind and matter cannot be united? I'm telling you, in the world of theorists, people have always debated the question of which is primary, mind or matter. But I'm telling you, they are one and the same. Why do we say that they are one and the same? You have always understood them separately. I'll give you the simplest example. The thoughts of our human brain are now known to scientists to have material existence. So you recognize that they are a material substance, but aren't they also emanated from one's mind? Aren't they mental? Aren't they one and the same? You've always understood these things as being separate. That's the principle I'm talking about. As I was just saying, at the same time that a substance exists, there exists this characteristic of jinshanren. From a certain point of view, it can be said that it is the spirit of the universe, the characteristic of the universe. In the past, even the Buddhas were always saying, what is fa? What is Buddha's fa? What is Buddha's fa then? Buddha's fa cannot be explained inside your own school. It transcends your range. It is an extensive thing. Yours is just a fraction, a part of the Buddha's Fa. If you were to talk about Buddha's Fa, could you ever explain it? So when you try to explain what Buddha's Fa is within Buddhism, within religion, you can never explain it. What is the Buddha's Fa? Only this characteristic of the universe is the Buddha's Fa. On different levels, this jinshanren characteristic has different manifestations. On different levels, it has different characteristics existing. So on the level of ordinary people, it has its forms of manifestation among ordinary people. Everyone knows, for example, that there are storybooks in Buddhism, and there are some people who, when sitting in meditation, went to the paradise of ultimate bliss and saw what it was like, and saw what so many levels of the heavens were like. Some others said that in the heavens, not a single word of the Buddhist sutras are the same as the ones on earth. The meaning was all different. Why is it like that? In the Diamond Sutra, the language, the characters, and the meaning were all different. Why is it like that? Actually, on different levels, there exists different fa. On different levels, there are different manifestations of the fa, or the law. It is all the one fa that is changing from level to level. All these are manifestations of the cosmic characteristic on the different levels. Later on, I'll explain this question to you further. Let me digress and tell you about the following. Since we began talking about the Fa today, maybe some of the people here are lay Buddhists and they've studied the Zen sect. The Zen sect believes that there is no Fa, that there's no Fa to speak of. What Fa are you talking about? When I was teaching a class in Dalian City before, somebody wrote a note saying, what is the Fa? Where is there any Fa? They were saying this sort of thing. Since the sect of Zen Buddhism was founded, throughout history it has always been controversial within Buddhism. Only in modern times, especially after the Cultural Revolution, did people cease to care very much about these things and even got them all confused. Because in Buddhism, it was always thought that the Zen sect was digging into a bull's horn or into a dead end. Bodhidharma said himself that he could only pass down his teaching through 6 generations. So after the 6 generations, after Huainin, it reached the tip of the bull's horn. There was nothing more to dig into, so they say there is no Dharma. But it's only in his one school that there is no Dharma, that there is nothing to say. His founding of the school of Zen Buddhism was on the basis of 2 of Sakyamuni's sayings. One is, there is no Dharma that is definitive. And the other is what Sakyamuni said in the later years of his life before entering Nirvana. I have not taught any Dharma in my lifetime. That's the Zen sect. So there's no Dharma. Bodhidharma came from the West without a word. He had no Dharma. Actually, I'm telling one, that's not the meaning of these words. Bodhidharma did not reach the level of Sakyamuni, so he had no idea of the mental state of Sakyamuni, of the enlightened one, of the real meaning of his words. Actually, the meaning of Sakyamuni's words, there is no Dharma that is definitive, is that on different levels there exists different Dharma. The Fa of any one level cannot be set to be the absolute Fa. But on that particular level, that Fa plays a guiding role. For those who practice cultivation, it has a guiding role. It has requirements for and restrictions on the living beings of that level. So that's how it is. Thus, at the end of his life, Sakyamuni also said, I have not taught any Dharma in my lifetime. Because when Sakyamuni became enlightened in his lifetime, he did not immediately reach the level of Tathagata, or Buddha at the lowest level, upon enlightenment. When he became enlightened, his level was not very high. During the 49 years of preaching the Dharma, he also kept raising himself up, cultivating himself, so only towards the last step did he reach the level of Tathagata. Thus, throughout his life, he kept going up, level by level. Therefore, he discovered a problem. He discovered that the Dharma he had taught some years ago, when judged later on, was all wrong. He himself found it strange that this problem should arise. After he rose up some more, he discovered that the Fa he had just taught was wrong once again. That is, the higher the level, the closer one is to the truth that is Zhen Shanren, closer to the fundamental characteristic of the universe. So the higher one is, the more and more correct one is. But the lower you are, the further away you are from the cosmic characteristic, and the requirements are not that high. This situation exists. Since this universe is boundless, when Sakyamuni reached his later years, he had not yet seen the edge of the universe, nor had he seen the smallest particle of matter. So he said two more phrases. It is large without exterior, it is small without interior. You know that now physicists believe that matter consists of molecules, atoms, electrons, neutrons, finally getting down to quarks and neutrinos. This is the lowest form of understanding matter, the modern scientific understanding of matter. But I'm telling you, this is a million miles away from the real microscopic origin of matter. It's so far off. I'll explain this further later on. Thus, when he reached his later years, Sakyamuni had not seen the ultimate Dharma of the universe. So he said, in my whole life, I have not taught any Dharma. He had good intentions. He knew that among the people following him, there would be those who would surpass him. So he said, I have not taught any Dharma in my whole life. Meaning, don't regard the things that I've said as the Fa, as the absolute Fa, as the absolute Fa of the universe. Otherwise, you will be limited by my Dharma. Actually, nowadays, it's the same way. In our world of science, there are many scientists who have made many outstanding contributions, but they have also laid down many definitions. And then there are a lot of self-confining people who are stubborn in mind and center their work around those scientists' definitions. They work and work, but no matter how you work, it cannot get beyond their scope. You have to dare to break through the ordinary people's things in order to make new developments and new discoveries. So those scientists, even though they've made discoveries, they've limited the people following them by laying down definitions. Actually, as I was just saying, that's the real meaning of the words, there is no Dharma that is definitive. Just now we talked a little bit about the view of Zen Buddhism that Dharma cannot be preached. So there is a characteristic in this universe that is, there is a Fa or law that exists, and that is the Buddha's Fa that we talk about. This thing is restricting people. If you want to rise up, you have to transcend. If your morality, your xingxing, or mind nature don't transcend, your gong or cultivation energy can never grow. Not only can it never grow, but you won't be able to recover from your illnesses either. Some people always put emphasis on treating illnesses. Actually, your illnesses. Some qigong masters, this issue I will talk about later on, they have not cured your illnesses at all. That illness has not been cured for you at all. They've merely pushed it into the future, so later on you will have a relapse. But for now, on the surface, you aren't suffering. Only a very high-level master who can dissolve a person's karma can really cure a person's illness. But he has discovered a principle. Ordinary people do not get ill for no reason. They do not meet with tribulations for no reason. So they cannot be healed for no reason. For example, if a person incurs a debt to another, he has to pay it back. If everyone could do bad things without having to pay it back, it just wouldn't do. Freely commit wrongdoing, stopping at no evil, and never meeting with retribution, that wouldn't do. Of course, the wrongdoings may not be from this lifetime of yours. They may be yours from before. Just now I talked about the two reasons for failure to increase gong or cultivation energy. I think you may have understood. If you want to cultivate to high levels, you have to emphasize de or virtue. If you want to cultivate to high levels, you have to know the five high levels and raise your xing xing. That's the only way you can raise yourself up. So let's discuss it a step further. How does this gong grow? Some people think this gong of mine, people who practice in the Taoist school say, in the Buddhist school they don't talk about gong. Why don't they talk about gong in the Buddhist school? In the time of Sakyamuni, when he was teaching the Dharma, he saw something, namely that cultivation depends on oneself, but gong depends on one's master. These are words that are passed down secretly, passed down within the community of true cultivators, but not in the Qigong community. Cultivation depends on oneself, but gong depends on one's master. That is to say, say you want to put a crucible in a furnace, gather medicine and refine dan or a cluster of energy to open energy channels and unblock acupoints, then I'm telling you, all you have is just the intent or yinian. The work itself is not really done by you at all. There is a master who does it all. If there is no master to do this, then you can't do anything at all. Your ordinary people's hands, your mind intent, has no energy. When it emanates, it's nothing. It's ephemeral. You think you can do it, but you can't. You can't do anything. It's done by the master. Of course, those masters are not necessarily of the two major Buddhist and Taoist schools that we speak of. They may exist in other forms. All matter, the immense substances that are present everywhere throughout the universe, are living beings. All of them have great powers, and all of them can help people. Of course, in Buddhism, they say that Buddhas are present everywhere. There are many, too many of them. They're everywhere. So maybe if you truly emphasize de, or virtue, in practicing cultivation, maybe someone will help you. That's what it means. Just now, we were saying that cultivation practice, in fact, cannot be done by oneself. That cultivation depends on oneself, but gong depends on one's master. Then how does this gong increase? Sakyamuni saw this point, so he didn't talk about the aspect of gong. He only talked about cultivation. In the community of cultivators, of the two words, shou lian, or cultivation practice, a lot of people emphasize the practice. They practice and practice. They don't get any better, but they still practice. They're not moving up, but they're still practicing. However, they don't emphasize cultivation. Of the two words cultivation practice, they consider cultivation to be just a modifier for practice. I'm telling you, it is extremely important. It comes before practice. Let's talk about cultivation first. You know, cultivation practice. When a person cultivates his heart, only then can his level be raised. A monk doesn't practice, but his level is rising. Of course, many monks, when they practice, of course, in the Dharma ending period, it is very difficult for many monks. They don't have any gong, of course. The form of this gong, whether in the Buddhist school or the Taoist school, is a column of gong or cultivation energy on top of the head. As he raises his level, this represents his energy and is also a representation of one's cultivation level. In the Buddhist school, it is a representation of the fruit status or attainment status. So as soon as some people sit down in meditation, they leave their body. The yuan shen or truth spirit leaves the body and goes to so many levels of heaven. Of course, whether or not this actually exists, in the Qigong community, they're always talking about it. And people say to such a person, go higher. And he says, I can't go higher. Why not? If I go higher, I'm afraid I'll fall down. That is to say, his fruit status has reached just that point. His level is there. His gong column is just that high. He can get to that high by sitting on his gong column. In Buddhism, it's called the fruit status. Of course, it's not fixed. As he keeps on cultivating, he can raise his level further. That is to say, the gong column will form on top of his head. Of course, this gong column is not a column of qi. It is entirely composed of high energy matter. It is a kind of light. Seen with the Tianmu or third eye, it is a light, while in another dimension, it is a completely real, extremely rich, high energy matter. That's what it is. So how does this gong come to be? You cultivate your heart and it just appears? It's as follows. People in ordinary human society are lost in delusion. So they think that this lifetime has nothing to do with another lifetime. They think, I'm just an isolated individual. If I die, I die. If I live, I live. And while I live, I have to enjoy myself, regardless of whether I hurt others. Of course, if one has committed too many wrongdoings, in the end, one will meet with the destruction of body and spirit, complete destruction. He'll be gone, there'll be nothing left. Of course, when we talk about this, some people say, this stuff you're talking about, we think it still sounds pretty mystical. Actually, there's nothing mystical about it. Later on, I will gradually talk about things that have been discovered by today's scientific community and explain it to everyone. That is to say, around the human body, there is a field. As a human being, you're not just an isolated living being, because we're saying there are many, many dimensions. Of course, tomorrow I'll talk about this question, the question of dimensions. There are many, many dimensions existing at the same time and place as ours, and in all those dimensions, there exist many, many living beings. In various dimensions, there are your bodies existing, but they are also a single, complete entity. It's not as though they're lined up one behind the other. They exist at the same place at the same time. It can't be drawn either. Basically, it just depends on your own comprehension. I'll just say it to you like this. At the same time, at the same place, there exist many, many dimensions, and every dimension has your body. It's a single, unified entity, so the body's form of expression and structure in each dimension is also different. Thus, a person, in addition to your main consciousness or 主意识, what we call main consciousness here is what is called main spirit or 主元神 in the world of qigong, also has a paraconsciousness, 副意识, so you also have a paraspirit, 副元神, that exists. Thus, the human body is very complex. Around a human body, there exists a field, and the form of existence of the field is different in each dimension. We'll talk about one of these fields. In this field, there exists something. It's a white substance in clumps, very dense matter called de, or virtue. Existing simultaneously with it is another substance, black, also in clumps, we call it ye, or karma. Which ye? That is the ye as in a child's zhuoye, or homework. In Buddhism, it's called eye, or bad karma. Here we call it ye li. Or karma. And this white matter we call de, or virtue. Both are materially existing things, it's just that they don't exist in our dimension. Your real gong, the gong that determines the height of your level, is actually transformed from your de, virtue. For example, just now I said, cultivation depends on oneself, gong depends on your master. If you wanted to transform your de into gong, you would not be able to do it. Of course, it's not made out of de alone. It has to include some other special kinds of things from the universe. However, most of it is your de. The amount of your de determines how much gong you may have transformed. If you don't have the de, you won't have that much gong. So that which really determines the height of your level, the size of your gong li or energy potency, and the amount of energy you emit is transformed out of your de, so this thing is extremely precious. It's an extremely precious thing. Its transformation is in this manner. For example, in the Taoist school they say, many people don't quite understand this. They say, when I form a dan or a cluster of energy in the lower abdomen, it's energy inside which allows the dan to store even more energy inside and will even make the dan grow bigger. They talk about refining a number of dan. They think that that's practicing gong. They think they'll accomplish the cultivation by refining this dan. I'm telling you, that dan is nothing. What is it? That dan is just a bomb or several bombs. What is it used for? This thing, when you have reached the final step of your cultivation, it will explode. The force of its explosion will blast open your 100 energy channels and your 100 apertures. The Taoist school calls the acupoints apertures. It will open the Tianmu or third eye and all the locks on the supernormal powers and set them free. That's what it's used for. But the real energy storage is not there. The energy that determines the height of your level is on top of your head. There is also another form of energy. For example, in the systems of cultivation of both mind and body, the binti, or the physical body as well as bodies in other physical dimensions, has to be changed. It is replaced by high energy matter. That means every cell of the body will store this energy. Then as for the source of this energy, when you have reached the state in cultivation practice whereby your body has been completely purified, this person will have reached the state called milk white body. What is the milk white body state? Your body is like that of a newborn infant, a pure and clean flesh body. It has no illness. You have to practice qi to this stage before you can reach the state of milk white body, before you can really develop gong. Otherwise, this high energy matter will not appear on your dirty body. So you have to be purified before you can develop gong. Of course, I have said, in this class, we have a lot of people with great predestined affinity, or yuan fen, and good inborn quality, or genji, so we will bring you out, we will purify your body and have you develop gong. This goes for many of the people. Not just a small number. Sometimes it's 90% of the people. So I've said, even sitting here is a predestined relationship, but some people still cannot give up ordinary human attachments. Of course, after all, you've just come here. As you continue to listen to my lectures, you'll gradually come to understand what I'm talking about. That is to say, only after you've reached the state of the milk white body can you really begin to develop gong. Developing gong is not qi anymore. After you reach this milk white body state, you are no longer able to emit qi. You say that in the past you used to emit qi or take in qi or heal illnesses by emitting qi. I'd say that's all a joke. Qi cannot cure illnesses at all. You have qi, I also have qi. You say you practice qi and opened your acupuncture point so you can emit qi and take in qi while my qi is locked inside. Nevertheless, yours is qi, so is mine. How come your qi can control mine? For all you know, maybe my qi controlled yours. All are qi, which is to say, can qi of the same level have restrictive power over each other? They cannot cure illnesses at all. Only when gong is really developed can one cure illnesses. Of course, in recent years, there have appeared some people of somewhat better inborn quality who could have some effect because of the energy they brought with them from before, but a lot of it is consumed. And after it's all used up, they are nothing. For true cultivation, no matter what level you come from, no matter who you think you are or who people say you are, I'm telling you that as long as you are among ordinary people, you are nothing. No matter how you came here, you have to truly cultivate your heart and pay off your karma or yi, and only then can you go back. Only when you truly raise your xingxin criterion, when you meet that criterion, can you go back. Otherwise, you can never go back. This is the principle. Everyone has to cultivate like this. So after a person has reached a milk-white body, he doesn't have any qi anymore, and he cannot emit qi. A step further, and he will go beyond the state of milk-white body. Of course, when a person is in the state of a milk-white body, he can also have another condition. Namely, when other people are ill, he knows it. When someone has a stomach ache, he also has a stomach ache. When someone has a headache, he also has a headache. If another person feels unwell somewhere, then he will feel unwell in the same place. So he knows and says to the person, "You have an ailment right here." Some people with this capability develop a show-off mentality. They don't understand that this heart or mentality is an attachment. It must be abandoned by all means. One absolutely must not have it. They don't know, so that's why some people cannot move up, and after they reach the stage, they even go backwards. They drop back down. Once a show-off mentality is up, he says, "I know that you have an illness right there." And people say, "Oh, you're amazing. You've developed gong, and now you're a qigong master." So he becomes so pleased with himself. I'm telling you, you are nothing. It's just that all the pores of your body have opened up. Your field is opened up and can blend into the field of others. So how can you know others and feel where others have illnesses? How is that a supernormal power? The body says, sensing ability does not exist at all, because a very pure person cultivating at a high level would not connect his own clean and pure body with others and mix them together to sense another person's things. So definitely there exists no such supernormal power. I say there are more than 10,000 supernormal powers, so he has other methods. As he continues to cultivate, he will go beyond the level of qi and will begin to develop gong. This gong is transformed out of de, or the white matter. At that point, the master will give him something. You could say it's a supernormal power. I like to call it a machine. If the gong, increasing gong, the supernormal power that increases gong, and it's not as though you have gathered so much energy and stored it in your dan and then your gong increased, it's not like that at all. The gong that truly determines one's level is formed outside of one's body. So after you are given this gong, it will spirally evolve your de into gong outside your body, within your field. You ascend a little and this gong increases a little. It changes. It changes into some gong. If your xingxing does not come up, no matter how it revolves, it does not change. If your xingxing has come up, the restrictive power of the cosmic characteristic on you is relaxed, because you've become a little bit better. Just like that bottle filled with dirty water. If a little bit is poured out, you will ascend a little. Your thinking ascends a little. A bit of your karma was paid back. In the practice of gong, you will suffer hardships. Of course, there is suffering in practicing gong. Whatever bad things you've done, if you don't pay them back yourself, who's going to pay it for you? Oh, you want to just dust off your butt? You don't want any of it? Then go succeed in cultivation? Where is there such a principle? While repaying your karma, you also have to raise your enlightenment quality, or wu xing, and raise your xing xing, so there will be suffering. If one wants to practice cultivation to high levels, one has to go through this kind of process. In evolving cultivation energy, as long as your xing xing is raised, the restriction of the characteristic of the universe on you becomes less. Then the supernormal power will transform this de of yours into gong to grow upwards. Finally, it will spirally form outside the body, and when it reaches the top of the head, it will continually shoot upwards and will form a column of gong on top of the head. For a person who has just developed energy, the grains of his gong are very large, like grains of sand. They're multicolored and very beautiful, but it's very loose and dispersed. The gaps are large, so it has very little power. The higher the level, the higher its density, the finer it is, even higher in density than water molecules, even finer, and the greater its power. The higher the level, the higher this gong column. This is how gong, the gong that truly determines the height of your level, or what the Buddhists call the fruit status, comes into being. It comes into being entirely from cultivating one's heart or mind. Say you don't cultivate your heart, but you want your gong to grow. That's absolutely impossible. This is one issue. For example, if a person of course, it also has to include some other substances. Because in our system, the Falun, or law wheel, the other substances are evolved by the Falun. In a while, I'll talk about this issue. Just now, I focused on describing how de is evolved into gong. Thus, between the two words, cultivation and practice, the emphasis is on cultivation. As for practice, why is there a need to practice? For practice, there are two kinds. Everyone knows that in Buddhism, those monks don't practice. Monks don't practice, yet they increase their gong. Why does their gong increase? Because they have cultivated their heart, so their de is being transformed into gong. They also have things belonging to the magic arts and divine powers. Buddhism also talks about divine powers, such as their five powers and six spiritual powers. They also have these things. Because Sakyamuni said, cultivation depends on oneself, gong depends on the master. So all those things are actually developed with the help of the master. So in order to have them abandon ordinary human attachments to the greatest extent, Sakyamuni didn't tell them about these things. Anyway, these things are done by your master, so you just mind your own cultivation, and that's it. So Sakyamuni taught the way of nirvana, not taking the body with you, so he had all the more reason not to talk about it. Because the movements are aimed at transforming one's bin, cultivating both mind and body, and strengthening divine powers like extrasensory powers, and also forming some things belonging to the magic arts. And there is also the generation of other living beings. These depend on a person's practice. However, the gong that determines the height of your level, the gong that depends on cultivation, is the most crucial. If this gong didn't exist, these things would not arise no matter how you practice. Why wouldn't things arise? Because the transformation of your body depends on being substantiated with this energy. Without this energy, your body cannot be transformed. You cannot achieve cultivation of your body and fortifying your nature, you cannot become rejuvenated, and you cannot achieve longevity. If you don't have this energy, your supernormal powers cannot be strengthened by it. You know, those supernormal powers, many of the supernormal powers are innate to the human body. For example, the celestial ear, telekinesis, Then there's also, anyway, there are many supernormal powers. In society, we've even given them names. Some supernormal powers already exist in the human body. It's just that you don't have energy, so they're nothing, and you cannot make them work. Even if you wanted to make them work, they wouldn't work, so you're the same as an ordinary person. Only if you have that energy can you strengthen and substantiate them so they become stronger and more powerful. And as your level rises, so do they. Therefore, one's level is the most crucial thing. Then there is the generation of many living beings through practice. If you don't have this thing to substantiate them, you cannot change anything. So cultivation is the most crucial. For many years, so many people wanted to recover from illnesses and raise their level, but you did not cultivate at all, you merely practiced. Practicing without stressing xing and virtue is just doing physical exercise. For some people, it's not even as good as physical exercise. They're over there practicing qigong, but I don't know what system. They're talking as they're practicing. Some people are over there practicing gong, and as they're practicing, they're thinking in their brains, what kind of buying and selling can I do today to make some money? If I can't make money, then today I'll do such and such. I'll need to cheat him or harm him. They think about everything. Tell me, can you develop gong? Can you develop good things through your practice? There are also those who are thinking, they're practicing over there. There's a qigong system that is spreading in society. Its true nature has been revealed, but it has caught on like wildfire throughout the society. I've heard that they held a big seminar here in Guangzhou, held a really big meeting. What movements do they practice? The movements of a yellow weasel. Tell me, they pay no attention to entering into tranquility. Nor do they talk about it. They're practicing there, like this, just like this. A yellow weasel. Refining Dan stuff. I don't know what system they're practicing. I'm just explaining this point. It's just that people have become foolish to this extent. In the past, among the cultivators of Dao, there was such a saying, even if you can't acquire a righteous way in 1,000 years, do not practice foxcraft for a single day. If you do, that will be your end. And now, on such a large scale, people ignorantly go along to practice it. I say the genuine, along with the sham and the evil, are all being spread now. In the Dharma ending period, where is there a land of purity? Qigong was not a land of purity either, just discussing this point. They're practicing and chatting at the same time, from family matters to national affairs. My mother-in-law is mean to me, my daughter-in-law is so mean to me. This society, this government policy isn't to his liking. Tell me, can they develop energy from their practice? Who are they practicing for? Of course, I'm just mentioning these things. I would like to do some good for Qigong, to tell everyone about these harmful things, what it's all about. Anyway, we have not brought up anyone's name, so just go think about it yourselves, everyone. So just now I talked about an issue, that is the issue of de, or virtue. So this de, how is it created? Some people have a lot of de, some people have less. As I was saying now. On the other hand, some people have a lot of karma, that is, they have a lot of black matter. So why is every person different? Because this thing is directly related to one's inborn quality, or genji. At the same time, it is also directly related to one's character in this lifetime. For example, this person is always hurting others, taking advantage of others and harming others. Every time he does such a thing, he will lose de, and he will gain karma. Because this dimension of his will not become a vacuum, it will be filled by black matter. For example, the example we most frequently see is people in this society berating others. Once a person opens his mouth to scold someone, he thinks he's gotten the best of the other guy, cursed him out really badly. He feels as if he's vented his anger, but actually he's lost de. Old folks in China used to say, accumulate de, or lose de, lose de. How well they spoke, it really is losing de, because in this universe there's a characteristic, a kind of thing that comes out of Jin San Ren called, one who does not lose, does not gain. To gain, you must lose. A balance is such a relationship. For example, say you don't want to lose. If you don't want to lose, you will be forced to lose. It won't do if you only want to gain. For example, this person has scolded someone or hit someone, used his fist to punch someone. As soon as he throws the punch, he has the advantage. He's counted as the party that gained. He vented his anger, he got the advantage. The person who was hit suffered humiliation, so he counts as the losing party. So the gaining party has to give him compensation. And the first man won't say, I gave you such a terrible beating, why don't you hit me back? That sort of thing never happens. He won't let the other person hit him, so what's to be done? When he's finished hitting him, as his punch is being thrown, however hard he hits the other person, from the material field around his body, there will be a piece of de that lands on the other person's body. It lands over there instantaneously. However hard he hits, that's how much he will lose. Of course, ordinary people don't understand this. Nowadays, if you hit me, how can I stand for it? I have to hit you. So he turns around and punches him, thus sending back the stir that he was given. You hit me once, then I have to hit you twice. So he turns around and throws him another punch, and another piece of dir flies away from his own field and is given to the other person. Whether you scold someone or glare at someone, either way, you want to do something bad. You took advantage of others, mistreated someone, or harmed others with underhanded means. You took something away from someone else. However much you obtained from others through underhanded means, that's how much you need to compensate them. That compensation is quite large. So you see, some people are doing quite well now, but their future will be rough. So we have just talked about the transformative relationship between karma and de. That's how these things come to be. Do good things and you gain de, do bad things and you gain karma. It's guaranteed to be this way. Because this de is extremely precious. You know, in ancient China or in religions in the past, folks used to say, if you suffer a little in this life, don't worry, do more good deeds, and in your next lifetime, you'll enjoy happiness. They would accumulate de. They talked about accumulating de. What did they mean? If I accumulate a lot of de in the next lifetime, whatever I want, I'll have. Actually, we're not telling you superstition here. We have actually seen from the standpoint of supernormal powers that this de can actually undergo a kind of transformative relationship. Because one has this de, he can do great things. He has de, then he has money. Actually, nowadays some people care for nothing but making money, so many people have exchanged their precious de for money. And what happens if this de runs out? This person will commit unpardonable sins, because when he has no de, his whole body is that black karma, and he faces the issue of utter destruction. That's the issue. They say that after death, the mind will become clear, that you will understand everything, and you will regret. Be it true or false, that's what folks in the past used to say, and that's what the religions say. We're just illustrating the meaning. For a practitioner, this de is even more precious. It's what directly increases your gong, but it determines your future for all eternity. That really is the most precious. The transformation of your entire body depends on it. You want to prolong life, right? Of course, this is nothing overly mystical. Today we've just started the lectures. We're talking on too high a level, and you can't accept it. Later on, I'll explain it going from the shallow to the profound and use various scientific principles to discuss it. Then you'll be able to understand it. So this de has this process of transformation, doing good things and doing bad things. Of course, this de, some people say, look at this bad person, he's always doing bad things, but he's always well off, and us good people always get mistreated. That's your own thinking. Of course, the Buddhist school has its own approach, because they think that all sentient beings are suffering. Regardless of whether you're good or bad, they think you're suffering. Why do they think that a bad person is suffering? Because a bad person is unknowingly doing harm to himself. So they're not willing to punish him. Why would you punish him? He is unknowingly harming himself. He takes advantage of others and gets some superficial things from others. 100 years are over in a blink of an eye. It's nothing. You can't take anything with you. Naked you come and naked you go. No matter how much you have, who do you leave it to? In the next lifetime, no one is going to know you. Even if you were to come to sweep the floor, they wouldn't necessarily give you money to spend. Just illustrating this point. If you were to come back to sweep the floor, they may not even Just illustrating this point. So they say that such a person is destroying himself. If he loses all of his de, won't he be faced with destruction? So this is how they see it. Don't look at how such a person stops at no evil. What he faces ahead of him is something even more terrifying. Just now, I mainly discussed the reasons why practice fails to increase gong, or cultivation energy. And in passing, I've also talked about the forms of de and gong. There's still a bit of time left, so let's talk a bit about what kind of system Falun Gong is. What kind of Fa our Falun Shulin Da Fa is. Everyone has come here to learn Da Fa. So let's talk about it. Our Falun Shulian Da Fa, or Falun Cultivation Practice Great Law, you know, differs greatly from other cultivation methods. In other cultivation methods, they take the path of forming Dan, or an energy cluster. I've been teaching Falun Gong in society for quite a long time. So some people have borrowed the theories of Falun Gong, compiled something else, and have gone around cheating people. They have also come up with some wheel and go everywhere swindling people. They say that in Dalian, there was a person who came up with, what was it, 18 wheels or 20 wheels? And went around swindling people. Actually, true cultivation ways, let me tell you, the true cultivation ways, the ones that have spread in society in the present historical period, all take the path of Dan, which is to say, they form Dan. Whether they are in the Buddhist school or the Tao school, they all form Dan. This goes for the Buddhist school, too. Even though they don't practice exercises, they also collect the mind, sit there, and once they begin to recollect their mind intent, they also begin to form Dan. So they are all cultivating on the path of Dan. They all form Dan, while in our system, in the lower abdomen, we cultivate a Falun, or law wheel. We don't form Dan. This Falun is alive. And it remains in perpetual rotation. Of course, during the seminar, I will give it to genuine disciples, the ones who came to truly study Falun Gong and want to practice cultivation. No one will be left out. Those who say, I will cultivate only Falun Gong. Those who say, I'll practice Falun Gong wholeheartedly, then we won't overlook anyone. Because nowadays, people have a saying. What saying? Borrow the strong points from everyone, and people consider it a truth. I'm telling you that this Fa has different guiding effects on different levels. That saying is something that is said on the level of healing and fitness. Why? On that level, they say that in borrowing things from different people, does it matter whose methods you use to get rid of your illness? So on that level, this principle is not wrong. It is correct. But on a high level, in true cultivation, it is wrong. In high level cultivation, you need to adhere to no second school. You must dedicate yourself to a single way. Because when a person wants to cultivate the method for saving you, a complete set of things... You have only one body. To transform your body, there can only be one set of things installed. Planting two sets of things won't work, so you can only cultivate by one method. But maybe you've read my biography and will ask, didn't you study both the Buddhas and the Tao schools? Right, but it was only after I attained enlightenment with one school that I would go learn other things. Those are immutable things. That school of mine will not change. And not only the Buddhist school and the Tao school, but also some great masters of the Qimen school have imparted to me the best of their systems. But it's only when you have reached that high and profound realm, when you have fully completed your cultivation in that system, that you can go learn other things. Otherwise, it won't work at all. You have only one body. Some people have rather poor inborn quality, so it is even more necessary for you to dedicate yourself to a single cultivation way. Of course, I'm not saying, everyone sitting here, come learn my Falun Gong. That's not what I mean. I'm saying that practice of Gong demands dedication to a single way. If today you decide not to cultivate Falun Gong, if you say, I want to cultivate it in another way, then go and cultivate it. I won't interfere with you. I won't think anything against you, and I won't do anything to you. Because whether or not you want to practice cultivation depends entirely on you. It's a matter of enlightenment quality. If in your heart you don't want to cultivate, what's the use of keeping you here? Could you be saved? For man to be saved, he must want it in his heart. Only if you want to cultivate cultivate could it ever work. So we never do this. We maintain the same position in managing our system. Some systems form little cliques saying, if you don't practice my system, I will punish you. If you're doing this, aren't you running the mafia? I'd say, what are you doing? Think about it, everyone. Isn't this undermining qigong? Today we are truly teaching cultivation practice on a high level, and yet even we don't even say this sort of thing. Whether you cultivate or not depends on your own heart. If you force someone to stay here and he doesn't cultivate, what's the point? We are truly cultivating to high levels. These people, think about it. If you don't cultivate, then leave. If you're forced to be here but you don't practice cultivation and you go off and do whatever you want, then you're damaging our reputation and tarnishing the image of Falun Dafa. So I'm not telling you that you have to study my system. That is to say, whether you cultivate or not depends on you. Study whichever one you want to, but I'm telling everyone, when you are truly conscientiously cultivating towards high levels, you must be dedicated to a single way. Because every school's way of saving people has to plant in you a complete set of things. Without it, you will not be able to develop anything through your practice. So in our system, as long as you truly cultivate, if you say, I'm going to cultivate only Falun Gong, I'm going to cultivate Falun Dafa, then I will place a Falun in you. Once this Falun has been planted, it will remain in perpetual rotation 24 hours a day. That is to say, for years, it will never stop. It will always continue to rotate in your lower abdomen. As soon as I mention this, to some people, it may sound mysterious. They'd say, forming a Dan sounds possible. I can accept that. If you gather a lot of energy, then maybe you can form a Dan. That's possible. But if you say there's a Falun spinning in the belly, I don't believe that stuff. Whether you believe it or not, we can give you an example. You know, our universe is moving. All the distant galaxies in the universe are rotating. Our galaxy is also rotating. Our Earth is revolving around the Sun. 9 principal planets are revolving around the Sun, and the Earth is also rotating around its own axis. Who is pushing them? Who is putting power into them? Why do they revolve? That's just the form of its existence, that kind of rotating mechanism. We call it a rotating mechanism. So our Falun also has this rotating mechanism. That's just the kind of thing it is. So it remains in perpetual rotation. You don't have to use any mind intent to control it. In the past, some practitioners of Falun Gong have used mind intent to control the Falun. I'm telling you, you've all gone astray. Your Gong is not pure now. Of course, the good thing is that you could attend this seminar. Since those are minor things, we can tell you and correct it for you, and it doesn't matter. But those who practice by adding other systems and have thereby deformed their Falun or made it lose its effectiveness, we cannot give you another Falun. We can only give you a rotating mechanism. If you truly decide to practice diligently, a Falun can be gradually developed. But I'm telling you, that's something you brought upon yourself. This thing is so precious, it is not allowed to let you ruin it at will. It wouldn't do if we were to give you another one and you ruined it again. So for true cultivators, we can plant a Falun in you. As I've been discussing Falun Gong, we've already begun to plant Falun in the students one after another. Some people can feel it. Actually, some people have already begun to feel it, even before they came to this class, because as I've said, if you have come, it's a predestined relationship. Of course, some people can feel a rotation in many parts of the body. Why is this so? That's not the Falun I gave you. The Falun I gave you is only one in the lower abdomen. When there is rotation in other places, those are the countless Falun that I sent out to adjust your body. Because some people's bodies have all sorts of illnesses, all sorts of karma. And some people have studied a lot of messed up qigong systems and have already made quite a mess. Their cultivation is doomed to fail. Those people are completely unable to cultivate to high levels. Others move up in cultivation along one main path, but those people from the very beginning are on small branching roads. You take this one and that one interferes, you take that one and this one interferes, they all interfere with each other. Because he studied this, and that, and the other, all of them, both genuine and fake, carry the messages of their own system, so all of them are interfering. Therefore, you cannot cultivate at all. If you cultivate this one, that one resists. If you cultivate that one, this one resists. Anyway, it's a mess. What should be done about these things? If you hadn't come to my seminar, nobody would have taken care of it. Why not? Because it involves things of many schools, both upright and evil. If you put your hands on things of his school, would he put up with it? But here we have to deal with all of these things because we have a clear purpose. Teaching Gong on a high level is a matter of saving people, which is beyond the scope of the things that they do. So for those who have practiced messed up things, we can purify your body and put these things in order for you and leave the good and eliminate the bad to guarantee that you will be able to cultivate to a high level. Every day when I lecture, when we're learning the exercises, and even when you're going back to where you live, you are constantly in the process of being adjusted during these 10 days. You are always in the process of being adjusted, not only during the seminar. It comes on rather strong. Tomorrow I'll talk about this issue. In addition, in our Falun Gong, in the process of rotation, the Falun rotates 9 times forward and 9 times back. Clockwise rotation is considered forward rotation, counterclockwise rotation is considered backward rotation. Rotating counterclockwise is emitting outwards, rotating clockwise is collecting inwards. Since it is an intelligent entity, it is also something assimilated to Zhen Shan Ren, or truth, benevolence, forbearance, so it cannot take people's things for nothing. He selects things and gathers with a purpose. Its power is tremendous. When one is artificially doing the exercises of holding qi, pouring it in the head, standing in the Tianzi stance or concentrating on Dan Tian, one cannot develop that greater power, so it transforms you and purifies your body. This occurs very rapidly. At the same time, in the course of rotation, it can evolve energy. It can evolve energy. You know, its structure is quite complex. The superficial form, as you see there, the Falun, its superficial form is rather simple. Because, as I have said, every object has its forms of existence in other dimensions. It is really extremely complex. So some people say it is a universe, say it is whatever. So refinement practice of Falun and our Falun Gong is done according to the universe, to something that large. So that Falun is equivalent to a miniature of the universe. Later on, when I talk about its structure, I will explain a step further why this is so. Because the things that I have passed down, the things that I have studied, are these kinds of things. So it's a tremendous thing. It can be said that in this cycle of human civilization, such a huge thing has never been taught publicly, nor has it ever been revealed. In a prehistoric period, in a fairly remote prehistoric period, it used to exist in human society as the principal dafa, or great law, for saving people. After that, during this historical period, it has not. In addition, Falun Gong is a system of cultivation of both mind and body. Genuine systems of cultivation of both mind and body are different from the rest. You know, among the disciples who have learned Falun Gong, many older people, for those for whom it comes quickly, they get it in the last few days of the seminar. They undergo a kind of physiological change, but those for whom it comes more slowly, they get it within 1 or 2 months, and will also undergo these changes. That is, the skin becomes delicate, becomes fair, even rosy. Moreover, it feels smooth, very different from the skin they had before. Because the system of cultivating both mind and body will cleanse your body, so the body will feel light, it will be free from illness. This is very common. It's not as though a few such people have appeared in our system and you bring them out to show off. That's not how it is. I'm the kind of person who, if I don't want to say something, I don't have to say it, but what I say must be true. Actually, the things that I'm saying, they may sound rather high level to you, because teaching Gong on a high level requires lecturing on a high level. But actually, if I have a yard, I'll say an inch, and you may still say I'm boasting. In fact, I haven't told you anything mystical. I'm just talking about the principles. Moreover, elderly people, elderly women, will even start menstruating. Of course, for some it may come somewhat more slowly, but don't worry about it. Everyone's physical condition is different. Why will there be menstruation? Because cultivation of both mind and body requires your vital essence to serve as a supplement to transform your body, to transform your binti, or one's own body as well as one's bodies in other physical dimensions. We pay attention to cultivation of life and longevity. At the very least, nowadays we talk about fortifying life, the ways to longevity, so you need this thing. Hence, your body has to be pushed back towards the state of youth. This kind of thing will occur. In addition, we give no consideration to the time of practice. Some systems pay a lot of attention to what time is the best time to practice, be it midnight or early in the morning. We don't pay attention to this. Why not? Of course, the midnight hours are good because it's very quiet. So if you base it on time, this environment is rather good. But we don't give consideration to that. Why not? You know, a few days ago, there was a person who came up with something like Falun reclining exercise. He said it was approved by me, so he put it in the newspaper, but I knew nothing about it whatsoever. In the end, he had to offer an apology in the newspaper. Of course, this is entirely doing damage to Staffa, the most severe instance of it. What Falun reclining exercise? Somebody asked me how to practice while sleeping. 24 hours a day, Fa is doing your practice and refining you. The large external channels are revolving and are driving your internal channels. I planted the mechanisms in you and the Falun inside is rotating. Overall, all of the internal mechanisms are moving together as a whole, driven by the Falun. They're refining you incessantly, 24 hours a day. What special practice do you still need? The Fa refines the practitioner. The greatest characteristic of Falun Gong is that the Fa refines the practitioner. We completely got away from the limitations of other systems, whereby if I don't practice, the Gong doesn't grow. I have to practice, then it will grow. Increasing the duration of practice is needed to make it grow. We completely got away from this. It is the most suitable one for modern people, for people with jobs, to practice. You just go to work, it doesn't interfere with anything. You may as well go and work wholeheartedly. In the past, people have said, in order to extend the practice time, I'm always thinking about practice, I'm always in the state of trance, and thus I increase the practice time. I'm telling you, that's cheating people, that's practicing qi. If you're really in a state of trance, could you be a practitioner? Could you do a good job at work? As practitioners, in all situations, we have to show ourselves to be good people. At work, you also have to be a good person. If you're absent-minded and don't get your job done well, if you're always in trance, can you develop gong? At work, if you were a machinist, your hand could get caught in the machine gears if you were in a trance. What if a work hazard occurred? If you were working someplace high above ground, you'd fall if you were always in a trance. Even if you're working in an office, it still wouldn't do if you were always in a trance. Who would do the paperwork? You would always be in a trance there, but it's not the place for practice. So the supervisor wouldn't be happy either. That is to say, they cannot deal with this. But we have resolved this problem, so you don't need to do any special practice. We have said, isn't the real gong developed through your cultivation? So what do we practice for? Our practice component is for transforming your binti to strengthen your superpowers, divine powers, magic things, and the generation of other living beings. That's what practice is for. Of course, you should also try to practice more. When you're practicing, try to practice more, but I don't need you to practice 24 hours a day. Who can practice that way? The movements are very simple. However, on the macro scale, they control the development of many, many things. A great way is most simple and straightforward. Complicated movements are not necessarily good, because we just practice automatically and many things that have become automatic, so it eliminates the need for many of your artificial techniques. Furthermore, our system also gives no consideration to the time of practice. If you don't practice in the midnight hours, Gong was doing your practice and refining you. Fa was doing your practice and refining you. If you didn't practice in the morning, Fa was refining you, Gong was refining you. We have some people who became busy at work or had special circumstances and did not practice for a month, but their Gong was still growing. They were able to hold themselves to the standard of being a practitioner at all times, and their Xingxing was rising, so Fa Lun kept rotating and did not slow down a bit. And their gong still increased. That is to say, as long as you can hold yourself to a practitioner's standard, if the transformation of your body slows down, don't worry. Practice some more when you have time. Practice some more to have it catch up, then it'll be fine. In addition, we give no consideration to direction. We practice according to cosmic principles. We take the cosmic characteristic Zhen Shan Ren, truthfulness, benevolence, forbearance, to be the highest standard, to be the requirement and guidance for our practice. We practice according to the principle of the evolution of the cosmos. The cosmic characteristic guides our practice, so this thing that we practice is big, very big. Think, everyone, since we are practicing according to the principle of cosmic evolution, where in this universe is there east, south, west, and north? So we give no consideration to direction. The universe is moving, the galaxies are moving, galaxies rotating, the nine principal planets are rotating around the sun, and the Earth itself is revolving. It's enough to make one's head spin. Where is there east, south, west, or north? Where? They don't exist at all. So in fact, the divisions of east, south, west, and north are divisions that people have made from the standpoint of the Earth. We practice such a huge thing, so we give no consideration to these things. No consideration to direction, no consideration to time. At the same time, this following can have the effect of protecting you, so that people with really bad xingxing will not be able to disturb you. This following can protect you. Of course, some people... In the past, it has occurred. Someone said, "What Falun Gong? Let me see, I'll mess with your Falun." And he tried to take it with his Gong. If he were to use Qi, a person who practices Qi is a major level below you, so he can do nothing to you whatsoever. Qi is nothing. Can it do anything to Gong? For those who have developed Gong, dispersed energy still doesn't work. Dispersed energy is just a form of existence of energy. Only supernormal powers, strengthened supernormal powers, divine powers can do something. But there are many... Because the root of your following is here with me, and my roots are anchored in the universe. If you don't believe it, let him try to do something. This may sound mysterious. Tomorrow I will explain it further. Because first I have to make clear this principle to you. So there are many people who would emit their gong and following would immediately suck it in and chop it to pieces, turning it into primordial qi, so that there was nothing left. Some of these supernormal powers are such that there is only one portion in the human body for this entire lifetime. If it's gone, it's gone. But he can't blame us for that. His xingxing wasn't good. He was doing bad things, so he lost it himself. Later on, he comes to you and wants it back, and you don't know what happened. You can't give it back. It's gone, transformed into primordial qi. It doesn't exist anymore. But then, there are some people who say, the teacher's Falun can protect me. So some students have been saying that when they met with danger, they saw the rotating Falun shielding them from those things. So many people... I think right here in Canton City, there was a person like this who took my book and went into the street yelling, "The teacher's protecting me! I'm not afraid of being hit by a car on the road!" Then maybe he really will get hit and killed. Why? Because think about it, is this a practitioner? This is damaging the Fa. This is not the xingxing standard of a practitioner. Isn't this damaging the Fa? The motives are not right. His xingxing is not right. How can we ever do this? As a practitioner with a standard, you have to require yourself to do what is good. Isn't this causing damage and disturbance? And then there is also... That's all for today because time is limited. I've already lectured for an hour and 40 minutes. There are too many things that need to be discussed. Everyone, tomorrow, no one is allowed to arrive late. If you come late, you will affect other people. That's all I'll say today.